Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Holy Spirit, we thank you. We have so much to be thankful for in you and you alone. If all we had was you, we would have more than enough. You are everything. You are our all in all. Lord, we thank you. Please come. Please come near today. Please speak to our heart. Open our eyes and our minds. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us overcome that fleshly boundary. Help us be discerning to know the difference between the Father of Lights and the angel of light, the enemy that comes and disguises himself as light. Help us to know truth, that that truth would set us free, and in that truth that we would be thankful. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, whatever is excellent and worthy of praise, help us to continue to keep our eyes fixed upon these things. And you are the epitome of all these things. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know if this is the way to begin or not, but it's right there on the forefront of my mind. As the Lord would have it, I would have been with teenagers this past week. And when thinking of gratitude or ingratitude, what is it about teenagers that help us remember that we can be so ungrateful? Now, they weren't ungrateful the whole week by any stretch of the imagination, but you'd turn a corner and you're thinking, seriously? Like, we're at the beach, it's sun shining, the waves are wonderful, there are no sharks. And we're together, we're having a wonderful time. And so there were a few moments there that were very good. They were so excellent because they were reminders to me of how much we can look at things from a very self-focused, self-absorbed, perspective and lose the real perspective. And I'm thankful that our prayer journal is set up and our prayer book is set up with beginning with thanks. And that's where we're going to begin today and the next, and over the next coming weeks, we're going to just talk about some of these steps that we take when we are entering into prayer with the Lord. And thankfulness, coming to the Lord with thanks, is the perfect place to begin. And the psalm telling us, enter his gates with thanksgiving and then into his courts with praise. So I've been meditating on this all week long. Actually, I had an extra week to think about it, but it's interesting as I feel like the Lord has been pressing in upon me in my own soul, you know, just to say, where does real joy come from? Where is our relationship established with Christ? Where do we live? You know, how are we to live our life in Christ? And Paul's words, rejoice, again, I say rejoice, rejoice always, were the seed to this thinking that if I am rejoicing in the Lord, I can't be rejoicing in the Lord and complaining at the same time, but that rejoicing in the Lord has then brought about this the thinking about what does it mean to be thankful for him, and are we to be thankful just for the things that he gives us, and or are we to be thankful just for him? And it would be so sweet that as Susan and I were having this conversation about thankfulness, what does thankfulness really mean, she shared with me a book written by Mary Moeller that really addresses these things very pointedly, very directly, and wonderfully, beautifully. I was so blessed by it. So some of the things that I'll share this morning have come from reading that book and enjoying it and being encouraged that, yes, there's something to, there's a lot to Paul's words of rejoicing in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice because when we're rejoicing in the Lord, really that is deep gratefulness for him and not just for what he's given to us, but for him. And that transforms our life. So I wanted to give you just a few things to think about as we go through these next few minutes together this morning. And one of, and then I was going to read to you from Luke chapter 17, where Jesus heals the lepers. And that's just striking to me because in it, I just to say at the outset here, I think we read that passage and think, oh, how could those nine not go back and thank Jesus, always identifying with the one who did? So I don't know that it has the impact on us that perhaps it could or should, because I do think that we often are of the nine. Often throughout the day, under a lot of circumstances, I do think we are of the nine, and we might justify or defend or make, you know, say, look here, I thank the Lord for this, or I thank the Lord for that. But if our hearts and lives and minds and thoughts were all marked by thankfulness, our whole life would be marked by that. So let me go ahead and read to you what I felt can summarize what we want to be thinking about thankfulness. True thankfulness treasures Christ, not merely the treasures from Christ. True thankfulness treasures Christ and not merely the treasures from Christ. True thankfulness transforms how we think and respond to our world. True thankfulness transforms how we think and how we respond to our world. And then our third point would be true thankfulness transcends, lifts our heads above, and enables us to walk forward in Christ, transcends and lifts our heads, our hearts, and our minds from that fleshly way, from that earthly way to walk with Christ. So true thankfulness treasures Christ, true thankfulness transforms how we think, and true thankfulness transcends and lifts our heads. So with that, let me read from Luke chapter 17, verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he, Jesus, was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. So with compassion and empathy and understanding, I share with you that there are many things that can happen during a day that can really throw us off and cause us to think bad things are happening. Is that right? We can have a thought come into our mind. Oh, I'm not able to have children. As you open up a announcement of yet another baby born. And that reality, it's broadside when you might have thought that in fact you had overcome this discouragement or this reality in your life. And what do you do in that moment? Lord, I want to be thankful for all that you have given, that right now what's right in front of me is what you have withheld. Or perhaps there's a man in his mid-50s, and he looks around at church and sees one man after another walking into church with a wife. And maybe not only with a wife, but with children. And that happens every Sunday morning, Sunday after Sunday. The reality that the Lord has allowed for him, or permitted and or even ordained for him, to be a single man and serve him and him alone all the days of his life. And every Sunday, bracing himself as he gets ready to go to church, one Sunday may be harder than another, that he's going to face that reality of, I don't have a wife. I don't have children. How is it that we have grace-filled gratitude in the midst of the circumstances that we find ourselves in? How is that even possible? Humanly, it's not. One woman is facing the reality of her breast cancer having returned, and in fact, it appears incurable and terminal, where another friend of hers had surgery and it ratified, took care of the entire situation, and she goes on to live many years longer. Life, in our view, oftentimes can appear very unfair. And so as we bow before the Lord, we are called upon to turn our eyes towards him. And as we said, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Grace-filled gratitude is grounded in Christ. Grace-filled gratitude, the essence is Christ, the overflow is Christ, and then the fruit, in fact, is Christ. And in that is relationship based upon a person and not upon circumstances. This gratitude, this grace-filled gratitude is rooted and grounded in a relationship, an eternal relationship that is, if I might say, fair, in that God has given to us all the greatest gift of all, himself. He has given us Christ. He has given us his Holy Spirit. He has given us himself. And so this is a theological issue, is it not? Deep gratefulness comes from really being able to not only look at the gifts that we have been given, which is our first step, if I might say, to be practical about all these things. What is the first step? Maybe one of the first steps, practically speaking, is in those moments when we are confronted with what we feel like we do not have, or what appears unfair or unkind or unloving of the Lord, in that moment, can we begin to thank God for the gifts that he has given to us, turn our eyes off of what we do not have and turn them to the gifts that we do have and begin to thank him there? And one of the first gifts that we can always begin with is thanking him for our salvation, which is immediately grounding, is it not? It is very centering, and it is, what is that word? Sobering. Sobering, because I do think that we talked about this a few weeks ago in thinking, where would we be if we were not saved? Where would we be without our salvation? This is very grounding, centering, and sobering. And at that moment of that gratitude, we are able to overcome our propensity to take our salvation for granted. Our first work, even there, will be to deal with that flesh that does not value the salvation that we've been given. You know that, don't you? I don't have anything here. If I were to take a rock right now and hold it right here and let go of it, where is it going to go? Is it going to go up or is it going to go down? The gravitational of your pull of your flesh is to be ungrateful and actually take your salvation for granted. If we understand who we are apart from Christ, then we will understand that when we get up in the morning, it is something where we put on our armor. We put on Christ. That's why Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, this is where we want to go. And we bow down and we begin to pray. I want you to know what you are doing. You are putting on your armor. You are putting on Christ. You are taking and turning your eyes off of self and putting your eyes on Christ. And to know this, if you're ungrateful, complaining and whining and grumbling, you can know for a fact, not a possibility, not maybe kind of, sort of, you can know for a fact that you are functioning in your flesh and you are idolatrous in that moment. Okay, so theological issue, that for we love the gift of salvation, but ultimately we want to really be thankful for and grateful for the giver. And Mary Moeller does a really wonderful job of telling a story in her book about a young lady who is proposed to, and it's actually sort of chilling as you read through her account, as this young man has thought of his dear and deep love for this woman and how he was going to propose to her and how he can display his love for her and how, what words he might use to convey this love and how he has chosen this ring as a symbol of his love for her. All it is a symbol, a temporal symbol of his love for her. The thing that of great value is his love for her. But when he then proposes to her, gets down on his knee and asks her to marry him and presents her with the ring, she can't take her eyes off of the ring. The ring becomes her obsession. All she can see is this ring and its sparkle and its impression and its value, not only in the moment, but day after day, week after week, month after month, she's enamored with the ring. The gift, but not the giver. And that can seem far-fetched, but I was a young bride once, and maybe not enamored with a ring and not thinking of that nature, but I knew many young women who were enamored with what their husbands could provide for them. And all the talk about the new marble or granite countertops and all these things, and how much we can lose sight of really what matters. And that, ladies, is where I do think we get tripped up. We have our weekly or almost weekly post on our Facebook page, the things that trip us up. I think as we close today, just really wanting to address this plainly, that one of the things that trip us up is that we translate the events in our lives, our disappointments, our wants, our expectations, our disappointments into how God feels about us, or how much we are treasured by Him, or these are real obstacles. When we really do take the gospel for granted, when our busyness and self-focus and self-dependence causes us to forget gratitude, when we have misplaced priorities, that's where we get caught up in the circumstances and in the stuff and in the things that are happening, how our marriage is going, how our children are doing or performing, even if we have an unsaved child, one that is wayward and it breaks our heart. Ultimately, we have to be very, very guarded that we do not allow these things to eclipse our gratitude and trust in God Most High and our thankfulness to Him. Ultimately, every moment of every day, He is worthy of all of our thanks, all of our praise, all of our grace-filled gratitude. And this is only possible in Christ, when we are grounded in Christ. So practically, thankfulness at the start of the day when you bow your head, really do that work, just like you would at the gym, to lift those weights that are not easy to lift. And you keep on working to lift and maybe lift heavier every week. Thankfulness of thought throughout the day. So taking captive every thought throughout the day. So even if you were thankful in the morning, you can't then let everything slide down that muddy slope. Throughout the day, you have to take every thought captive and guard your heart with all diligence. In fact, some would say with vigilance. And then thankfulness in deed. We want the mind of Christ, the heart of Christ, grounded all in gratitude. And our lives then will be an overflow of that gratitude that I think is so captivating to others and such a draw and so appealing to others. Have you ever been in a room with someone who is complaining about their circumstances and telling you about all the bad things that have happened and, oh, woe is me? Perhaps they do it maybe every time you see them. And so when you start to see them, you're thinking, maybe I'm not sure if I can deal with this anymore. And you're thinking, I want to love them right where they are, but I sure wish that they would come with praise and thanksgiving in their heart and tell me of what good the Lord had done last week. I think we want to make sure that what we're doing and sharing, even with our husbands at night, is the praises of the Lord. So as we're praying, entering into His gates with thanksgiving, thanking Him for the gifts and thanking the giver and really being thankful for the giver and who He is the perfect transition into praising that giver for who He is. And we will talk about praise next week. Let's bow. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time together. Thank You for Your word, which is true. Thank You for the faithful saints that have come before us, for Mary Moeller and those who she gleaned from Jonathan Edwards and John Piper and Chuck Colson. And I thank You for all those that we learn from every day. We learn from one another. And I pray for our time together as we share, as we learn and grow together in graceful gratitude in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.